Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Sunday, the first day of August, 2010. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a special guest today. It's been, I'm going to say, a good 6, maybe 7 months since we had Lucas on the air with us. I was just talking to Lucas earlier today. We were exchanging some thoughts about what's going on regarding earth changes and the government and private sector preparations going on with all this. And he should be calling in here momentarily, and if my engineer can upgrade the screen here, I'll know when Lucas is on the line. I also have a new sponsor this week, and I look forward to working with this new sponsor and helping all of you achieve your goals with this new sponsor regarding gunsmithing, the American Gunsmithing Institute. It's going to be a lot of fun working with these people. We'll be doing some interviews with them and so forth. I don't want to start with Lucas here before the first break because I know we'll get cut off just at the time we get going. So a couple of interesting quick things here. I have in front of me a page from the IBM website talking about their Boulder Business Continuity and Resiliency Services site. And they're nestled in the foot of the Rocky Mountains, 45 minutes from the Denver Airport, within 35 to 30 minutes of three regional airports. And we'll be talking about that and some related matters here when we come back on with Lucas here after the first break. It's going to be a fun show. We'll be taking calls later in the show with Lucas. Lucas is one of the, in my opinion, one of the foremost researchers on the 10th planet, the effects of the 10th planet, the historical and references and records that were left behind by our ancestors. So with that, we'll have the first break. When we come back, we'll have Lucas on and we'll jump right in there. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Here's more of John Moore on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the first day of August, 2010. Now, Lucas, it's L-U-C-O-S, which is a pseudonym and an acronym, and we're going to find out about both of that in a moment here. First came to my attention, you did that presentation at the bookstore in Texas there, Lucas. So was that December of 2009?
No, it was actually January of 2010.
Okay. And you came to my attention shortly after that. Your presentation was posted on YouTube, and you and I talked, and I believe, haven't you been on my show before?
Well, I had called into the show once.
Called in, that's
right. Yeah, just a caller.
You weren't a formal guest like you're a formal guest this time.
No, I haven't really done much radio since then. I've had a lot of things happen, so I've just been tiptoeing through the tulips here trying to keep my head on.
Well, our formal guest, you get the limousine ride to the green room, and he did enjoy that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was great.
Okay. I'm just pleased to hear that. Well, the title of your DVD that based on the work you did, and of course includes a presentation you did at the bookstore in Texas. What is the title of that DVD, please?
It's called The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind.
Okay, now, when did all this Planet X mess come to your attention the first time, Lucas?
Well, it started a long, long time ago. Back when I was 16 years old, back in 1985, I was at a party with my friends. You know, we had kegs and all that. And the cops came and raided the place, and we had to run through the fields and ended up running to my friend's house. And his mom knew what we were doing, and she looked at us and she said, "You boys better have your fun now, because in the future, the New World Order is going to put a computer chip in you, and you're not going to be able to do anything fun anymore." anymore. And I thought, what the heck did she mean by that? You know, here I'm a 16-year-old kid. So I started researching all this stuff back then. The whole Planet X thing came when I couldn't figure out 9/11. Anybody in the right mind to devise the 9/11 plot had to have left all these holes in the plot on purpose, because it's so obvious. I mean, anybody can see that. I mean, the cover-up of Building 7 and all that. So I started thinking, why did they leave all these holes in the plot open? And then it kind of dawned on me that there must be something bigger to this whole thing, and that all the 9/11 and that sort of thing was just a diversion. So I started researching into it, and then I started thinking, well, if something happens, you know, maybe it's recorded in the ice core data. So I started looking into various, you know, data from tree rings and ice cores and things like that. And there was definitely a pattern of, you know, of something happening to this planet. It makes a jigsaw pattern in the Volstagg ice core data. And so I started mapping out the civilizations, and I found out that pretty much 3,600 years ago, almost all civilizations on the planet came to an abrupt end and had to restart. And so I started doing more research into it and found out on Earth 3,600 years ago, a lot of events happened. I mean, it lines all up with the sinking of Atlantis and the meltwater pulse 1A that happened back then, which probably is what sank Atlantis. And, you know, there's just so many different things that brought me to the conclusion. And then I was researching the petroglyphs. I figured, well, if something happened, these guys probably wrote it down somewhere, and they probably knew that, you know, it wasn't going to last on paper, so they carved it in rock. And I started seeing all these spirals. Well, it was really a big coincidence, because I was creating that presentation well before the Norway spiral happened, and I had shown all my friends all these spiral petroglyphs, and then literally like 3 days later, the Norway spiral happened, and all my friends are calling me going, oh my God, how did you know there was going to be a giant spiral? So, yeah, I was kind of prepared for some kind of spiral, because there were just so many of them, you know, around the world.
Absolutely. I recall that very clearly from your presentation. Well, you kind of backed into this, and you were, I know you're a very inquisitive gentleman, and you're very bright, obviously. And when you were researching 9/11/01, there were some unanswered questions, and you went searching for answers, and one thing led to another, and here we are. Fascinating. So, I don't know, Lucas. Your DVD was posted on YouTube within days, wasn't it?
Well, it was kind of a weird situation. I created the presentation to show all my friends, because I wanted to talk all my friends to get out of this area, because obviously there's seashells laying on top of the ground around here. That means not very high above sea level. So, well, I showed Harlan. He's one of my friends. He's the owner of Brave New Bookstore. And he asked me if I would show it to some of his friends. I expected about 10 to 15 people maybe to show up. But anyway, I couldn't believe over 100 people showed up, and somebody filmed it and asked me if they could put it on YouTube. And I said, yeah, sure, why not? So they put it on YouTube, and it kind of took off from there.
At this point, how many hits has there been on this?
I think on the one copy, I mean, there's several copies up. On the one copy, there's about 58,000 views.
Right.
But they're between all the different copies. I'm not sure how many views are total.
Okay, well, that's a lot of hits. I think it's more than I've got on my YouTube stuff. In fact, I know it is. Well, you took that video there, and you did some editing to clean up the technical problems, and there were a number of technical problems because of the person doing it really didn't have professional grade equipment. I know, and you came up now with the two disc set. One is a DVD, and the second disc is a CD. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir. It's the first one is the 2-hour presentation of me showing the it's actually called the rabbit hole. The presentation itself is called the rabbit hole, and the other one is a CD of the actual rabbit hole itself, all the information I was showing in the presentation.
Okay, I referred you to the PowerPoint material in the CD. Is it, would that be more or less accurate?
Well, it's HTML. It's more or less a website on a disk.
Okay. Okay. Oh, that's neat. Okay. And if people want to get their hold of this, you have a website. What is that website address?
It's www.rabbithole2.com. That's a rabbit hole with the number 2 after it, .com.
Okay. I asked my webmaster this past Friday to put a link to your website, and I don't know. I haven't checked to see if it's posted yet, but if it's not, it will be soon. Of course, my website is thelibertyman.com. And the cost for this 2-disc set is how much, Lucas?
It's $31.99. So it's
that includes the postage.
Yeah.
We got our first caller on hold here. You ready for a call, Lucas?
Sure, that'll work.
Okay, Mike from Illinois, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, hey guys, how you doing today?
Good.
Good. Yeah, but the point of my call is that everything seems to be pointing to the dwarf star, and. Also, I'd like to mention something about the third secret of Fatima, but what's a good reason and need to have a global war on terror? Well, the terrorists are 20 times better prepared to survive than most of us because they have been hiding in natural caves, man-made undergrounds, and high up in the mountains. They may have been surviving in remote deserts and tropical jungles for many years. Maybe the global elite started the global war on terror because they want after the New World Order, which may come after they think they're going to survive, to make sure that these survivalists, you know, who can be considered terrorists, are eliminated. I mean, that could be. But then again, you know, I like to look at all these other things. You got Haiti going on. Everything's pointing towards the dwarf star. Haiti today in Pakistan, over 1,000 dead from monsoons. Happening over there today.
Right.
All these chemtrails can be possibly even be being used to cover the brightness as all the planets are increasing in heat and brightness. I've noticed the sun getting brighter since the 80s. You got the Gulf explosion. All the FEMA camps are ready to go. The elite are making bunker-type facilities like at the airport at Denver. Hurricane
right.
Katrina, wars, rumors of wars, you know. And so forth, so on.
Okay.
So, well, I don't want to preach to the choir here.
Well,
but
we appreciate your comments, Mike, and thank you very
right.
much for your call. Mike hit on a lot of the high points here, Lucas, and the things that I discuss frequently, and I know things that you're well aware of. There's a lot of interconnectivity between different issues, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. I thoroughly believe that the chemtrails aren't killing us. Well, I mean, they are reducing people's immune system, but I think that ties right in with what the Bible says when it talks about how people's health will deteriorate towards the end times. Well, the more of this barium they spray in the atmosphere to protect us from the radiation, the more it affects our immune system. Because, obviously, if you do any research into a brown dwarf star, they emit a high level of X-rays, and other radiation that, they don't, like our sun. Our sun expels most of its energy in the form of light and heat, but since it doesn't have enough material in a brown dwarf star to generate a reaction like that, it still has a chain reaction, except it's bombarding anything around it with subatomic particles.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's what the barium is for.
Well, one of the effects of any cloud, man-made or otherwise, it has a cooling effect on the surface of the planet. Lucas, I was mentioning to you earlier today that I did some research and I found that IBM has built their business continuity and resiliency center up in Boulder, Colorado, just a 45-mile drive from the Denver International Airport. And I believe that if someone, myself or you or any of the listeners, starts researching Fortune 100 companies, that they're going to find a number of Fortune 100 companies have done similar things. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. They are moving to the high ground.
It's the middle of the continent, a mile high, and it's certainly, it's not a good place, I don't believe, for normal civilians because the short growing season and lack of water. But if you're a Fortune 500 company or the federal government, not too much of an issue. Lucas, hold on. We got a break coming up. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the first day of August, 2010. And our guest today, our special guest is Lucas. He's now giving out his real name, Wayne Young. Since the government knows who he is, there's not much use of concealing your real name anymore, is there, Lucas?
No, well, you know, I did this. I originally created this back when I did the first 9/11 documentary called The Ultimate Con, which is now the most watched 9/11 video on YouTube of all time. It's, in fact, the eighth most watched political video on YouTube of all time. So I originally devised that back then because I had a lot of people screwing with me. And one thing I wanted to mention of utmost importance to me is a lot of people have asked me a lot of advice on where to go and what to do and right. and all this, and I, to be honest, I can't really give out that advice because I don't know myself. I mean, I've never survived the apocalypse before, for one, and two, I would advise that you don't go messing with wherever the elites have set up shop, because they'll probably have shoot-to-kill orders, and if you're that person standing out there beating on the gate, I have a feeling that you're not going to be very happy with the outcome, so...
No, I agree with that part of it, Lucas. The whole area around Boulder and Denver, Colorado, will be a series of barbed wire encampments, cyclone fence and barbed wire encampments with very tight controls, and they're not going to tolerate any silliness. Even if that was not the case, it's basically high desert. You got a short growing season, lack of precipitation most of the year. Not the best place to try to grow fruits and vegetables unless you've got a greenhouse and a source of water. That's not an issue for Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies and the federal government. They got all the financial resources they need to do whatever they want to do. Now, on one hand. On the other, I do know what the U.S. Navy is telling these veterans is that the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks, they consider to be a safe haven for the following reasons. The mild winters, long growing season, more water than we know what to do with. There's more bridges in the state of Missouri than in any state in the United States. And Missouri's not that large a place compared to some of these western states. You've got no major cities in the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks, none. The closest three major closest cities, St. Louis, Memphis, and Kansas City, are all some distance and, quite frankly, aren't all that big compared to places like Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, and so forth. And a fairly homogenous population, not that many minorities, and a lot of the people down here in the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks, Lucas, are only one generation away from subsistence farming, and hunting and fishing and those kinds of pursuits are still really big and really popular down here. So all those reasons, I believe, is why the U.S. Navy has given this location as a known safe haven.
Well, I was going to also add that pretty much anybody who's interested in all this stuff has noticed the massive push to robotize, to automate the U.S. military. And if you just look at where this is coming to, okay, the elites are going to be underneath the ground, and they're going to have their robots on the surface enforcing the law.
Well, people that don't know about technology are sometimes very, even those that do, are can be very fearful of having these gee whiz Star Wars devices. I saw firsthand in Vietnam what barefoot peasants can do to the gee whiz Star Wars technology. There is always, and I repeat, always, always, a low-tech, simple countermeasure to every gee whiz Star Wars device that they may come up with.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll give you a real crystal clear example. Now, this is going back 40 years ago. 40 years ago, we had devices that could be dropped by airplanes that looked like a green living plant dropped into the jungle that were actually radio transmitters that could detect the smell of human urine and transmit a signal back to Thailand through their technology. And then we would dispatch bombers with college-educated pilots to drop bombs where the human urine was being detected in a free fire zone. The barefoot peasants, they took buckets of human urine and hung them in the trees to fool the sensors, and our college-educated pilots flew 1,000 miles to drop bombs on buckets full of urine.
I forget the exact story, but the exact tribe, but there was a point in time where the British military had parked a bunch of their aircraft carriers off the coast of somewhere, and we're doing something, and at night the tribes people came out there with their canoes and climbed on board and pushed all their planes off into the water.
Well, you know, probably they figured they didn't need a night watch since they're out there in the ocean to protect themselves, and they maybe had one or two guys. That's amazing. That's amazing. We got another call here, Lucas. Mike from Maryland. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Interesting guest. I'm not quite sure if I believe the Planet X thing, but it's definitely worth investigating. But what's your guest's website again, so I don't forget?
It's rabbithole2.com. That's rabbithole2.com.
Okay, thanks. Hey, I'm a member of DC911truth.org, and I've been, spinning my wheels trying to spread the truth about...
Mike, hold on, Mike, hold on. We got a break coming up. Lucas, stay tuned. Everybody, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Got an inside corner on the truth, thanks to John Moore and the Republic Broadcasting Network. To talk to John Moore live on the air, call 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the first day of August, 2010. I'm going to ask our caller and our guest to be patient while I take care of some business here. Now, Freeze-Dry Guy does have... I don't have the August specials yet, so I'm not going to give out the recently expired July special. That would not be a wise thing to do. Freeze-Dry Guy carries the highest quality freeze-dried food, dehydrated food. Now, the dehydrated food isn't quite as expensive as a freeze-dried, so that's helpful there. And Heritage Garden Seeds. He also has the four different clubs you can join to put your food storage program on automatic pilot, so to speak. His 30 servings club, his protein club, 60 servings club, and 120 servings. That's 30 servings a month, 60 servings a month, and 120 servings a month. Different food every month at a price that you can live with that will fit your budget. He also has various preparedness items, some interesting articles at his website, by the way. His website is worldwidewebfreezedryguy.com, and there's a link for my website, thelibertyman.com. If you want to have electricity at your home, your farm, or your ranch, contact Rick Salata at KT Ordnance. Rick's phone number up there in Dillon, Montana, is 406-834-3611. Edison batteries, that's what is coming to the table there. Edison batteries that will last, well, we don't know how long they last because the original Edison batteries, after more than a century, are still in daily service. A special website set up is ZapWorks, Z-A-P-P, ZapWorks.com. There's supposed to be a link set up, I hope, already for my website, thelibertyman.com. And last but not least, I've never had anything free to offer, folks, but I got something free to offer you now. It's a free how-to gunsmith DVD. My new sponsor, American Gunsmithing Institute. There's a link from, there's a banner ad on my website, thelibertyman.com. This is a free sampler DVD with a catalog of firearm disassembly and reassembly, gun repair, accurizing, customizing, tuning, refinishing, shooting techniques, bluing, lathe and mill operation, welding, trigger jobs, and so much more. They also teach you how to get certified as a professional gunsmith if you want to go that route. They have a toll-free number you can call also to get your free DVD. Now, if you don't want to repair firearms, you probably know somebody that does. So go ahead and order it and get it to the person you know who does maintenance and repair work on firearms. Here's that phone number, toll-free, 800-474-2514. I say again, 800-474-2514. That's American Gunsmithing Institute. All right, gentlemen, we're back here. Mike, you were telling us that you're a member of one of the 9/11 truth movements. Is that accurate?
Yes, DC911truth.org. And I'm going to touch on several topics, but I can string it all together, and I'll try to be as succinct
okay,
as possible.
Okay, yeah, make it compact if you can.
Sure. Basically, you know, you mentioned that the whole 9/11 thing is a distraction. Over the past several years, if you look at the scheme of things, it can be construed as a distraction, especially if you look at the Georgia Guidestones, where the power elite want to take the world's population down to 500 million. You have the murals at the Denver airport that mirror a similar thing. And then you have, I can see in this video, of where the elite are building these huge underground bunkers that cost $500,000 a pop in former shelters that used to house missile silos. And then you
right.
have the really rich shelling out money for $1 million to $2 million reservation and these luxury huge ships to ride out the storm, so to speak.
Right,
so,
right.
If you tie all this together, do you think it ties into Agenda 21? So even if you don't believe in the Planet X thing, you know something terrible is going to happen. And then if you look at the movies like The Road, where 98% of the people are dead and 98% of the survivors are cannibals, and you know how movies like Fight Club and the other movies that predicted 9/11, predictive programming, you know that we're in for some pretty rough times.
Absolutely.
Well, it's really interesting. You mentioned the Georgia Guidestones, because there's one key word in the Georgia Guidestones you need to concentrate on, and that says maintain humanity under 500 million. It doesn't. The elites are so hubris, they would just say, you know, reduce population down to 500 million if that's what they wanted to say, but they say maintain humanity. So that signifies that it's maintain it after some sort of event that brings humanity down to those levels.
Sure, yeah, that's very, very insightful.
That's very true.
Right.
That's very, yes, it is insightful. Okay, Mike, well, we appreciate your call, and don't be a stranger. Lucas, there's a lot of people aware of the pieces of the puzzle and just simply haven't put them together like you have, aren't there?
Oh, yeah, I've gotten called and emailed by, you know, literally 1,000 people so far, you know, just all fishing around through this big maze of puzzle pieces trying to figure out what was going on. And, you know, it takes time and years of research, and there's different levels of the rabbit hole you fall down to. You know, once you realize that there's a huge power over you, that's one level, and then you realize that 9/11 was all set up, and then you realize that, you know, other things, that just keeps going down and down and down. So
right. Now, Lucas, you and I haven't talked about this, but I talk about it occasionally, and that's the topic of forbidden archaeology, perhaps hidden archaeology. You touched on it briefly a moment ago when you mentioned Atlantis. Best I can figure, that was the Atlantis civilization was about three cycles, 3,600-year cycles ago. That's my opinion. Do you have one?
Yeah, you're right on that. And not only that, but there is so much archaeology that is not being shown to the public that really, in my mind, proves that humans on this planet have been civilized, sophisticated, even had spacecraft, went to the other planets, knew about the colors of the planets, the far planets, that we didn't even find out until the late 80s. And
right.
How did the Sumerians know? This is really what really freaks a lot of people out, is how
right.
did we have the information that the Earth went around the sun, and then all of a sudden they thought the sun went around the Earth, and then they,
right.
you know, same thing with the world being flat. We used to know it was round, and then all of a sudden it was flat, and then it went back to being round again.
Well, it's kind of ironic. You know, Galileo was almost executed, burned at the stake by the Catholic Church for saying that the Earth goes around the sun. The same Catholic Church that had in its library the information from thousands of years ago demonstrating that what Galileo said was accurate.
Exactly. You know, I think that a lot of this, to touch on what I believe certain prophecy is the mere fact that these guys had access to information in books that no longer exist, like, say, Nostradamus and Mother Shipton. They had access to material that no longer exists in today's world that told of a cyclical event. And if you have that access to that information, you can sound like a prophet in the future.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and so I think that's how a lot of this prophecy works, is they just had information that we just don't, it doesn't exist today.
Well, I think one of the agendas, there's lots of agendas here. One of the agendas to preserve the whole bogus theory of evolution from Darwin. They don't want us to know that 12,000 or even more years ago, just plain old human beings like you and me had the ability to crack the atom and for space flight. Because that just throws Darwinian evolution flat on its face, doesn't it?
Well, in a way, I think they can coexist, though. If there's a... All right, think about this. Millions of years ago, dragonflies used to be about 3 feet across.
Right.
Well, now dragonflies are only about 2 inches across. Well, throughout the time...
What you're describing there is not one species becoming another species. It's one species becoming different in terms of its size and weight and so forth.
Right.
Darwinian evolution has one species becoming a different species.
Yeah, I understand. What I was getting at mainly was the fact that this event occurs on a cyclical level, so every time it happens, all the species of the planets have to become more leaner and eat less,
you're right.
So they become smaller.
You're right. You're absolutely
that's why
right.
The dragonflies are this big.
But we got another caller here on hold. John from Canada. Go ahead, John.
Hi, gentlemen. Yeah, great topic. I really like what you were just talking about, where you're saying, you know, this information doesn't seem to exist anymore, or we've lost some knowledge, and that 9/11, of course, is set up. And I think the answers are very easy. We can defeat these guys in the matter of hours if we communicate freely, and censorship as the tool of tyranny does not succumb over our abilities to articulate the facts. The facts are... all the Taliban asked for was evidence to form a conclusion, and Bush officially closed police investigations to arrive at the actual guilty parties. FBI officers are still threatened with arrest for pursuing bin Laden investigations regarding 9/11, or even talking to the public about it. So Bush is guilty of obstruction. We'll never, ever nab the actual guilty parties until our police services are brought back to the task follow probable cause, but soldiers can't live with that. That's why this war in Afghanistan will never end, because how are you going to negotiate a settlement? The other side, whoever they are, if they're civilized at all, are going to go, you need evidence to form a conclusion against the guilty party. Otherwise, that's a free citizen in our society, and soldiers can't accept that, because if they did, they'd know they are truly escaping those who did America wrong on 9/11, starting with, of course, General Ahmad. He hasn't even been arrested. This guy still walks free on our earth, knowing he financed this terrorist strike against the American suckers who are still falling victim for this. Soldiers don't have to die. All they got to do is demand equal treatment for another. Instead, they go silent when they've made it legal to rape children and rape women in Afghanistan. They put a man to death in Afghanistan simply because he was a Christian, and soldiers wouldn't utter a word for freedom. They don't war our world for freedom. They war our world for tyranny because they're not intelligent enough to understand. You have to follow probable cause. How else are you going to figure anything out?
Right.
Instead,
right.
They're hypnotized by Bush when he said, we don't need any evidence. We know he's guilty, quote unquote. Don't support the Taliban. I'm supporting justice. I want to find out who actually did America wrong. And when you look into it, you find that the guilty parties are still escaping. Primary targets are Bush and Cheney for obstruction. It's Senator Daschle, the head of the Democratic Party at that day in history on Tim Russert's Meet the Press, who told us, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what they did. You know, they closed investigations immediately. This is right. What I'm saying. It doesn't have to be difficult. It can be very easy. No soldier alive on this planet who wears an American uniform would oppose me on that subject alone, because they don't want to die for the bad guys.
Okay.
They want to survive and live on and prosper in a society where we truly practice justice as an expression of freedom to speak freely to one and all.
Okay, John, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Lucas, we're getting kind of far afield here. I want to get back on topic. And, John, I appreciate John's comments. But let's get back to the topic, which is the 10th planet. Earth changes, the destroyer star. How many different names are there for the destroyer star, Nuburu, Planet X?
Goodness. Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the dragon, Nemesis, Phaeton, the dark star, Death Star, Nibiru. It's got many different
absolutely.
Names.
You know, John, we've all heard about the cave paintings in France. I read about they found the oldest cave paintings in France, and you get back to the most remote part of the cave, deepest part of the cave. The cave paintings show what appear to be men and women walking around with women wearing dresses and carrying purses, and men wearing trousers, shirts, and shoes.
Oh, yeah.
In the oldest part of the cave paintings, yes.
Yeah, and, I mean, they found that one city, I forget exactly where it was at, that had running hot and cold water, and they just recently found, China hasn't really talked much about this, but they just uncovered all these iron pipes sticking up out of the ground when this lake receded in China. And, I mean, literally iron pipes that have had to been there hundreds of thousands of years ago. So,
really?
Yeah, they've uncovered that. Have you ever heard of the London artifact?
I see a lot of the stuff. Which one was that?
Okay, the London artifact is a hammer that was found embedded in rock in England, and basically,
it looks like an elongated sledgehammer.
Yeah, but it's so old that the handle has started to turn to coal,
The solid rock has formed around the hammer.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple references to airplanes, helicopters, things like that from the past, and also other vehicles that we don't even have in today's world.
Absolutely. You know, Lucas, if you go to a certain part of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, you'll find hundreds of acres of green glass on top of the desert. And we didn't know until August 1945, how in the world can you get the heat of the sun at the surface of the earth? Well, in August 1945, with Hiroshima and Nagasaki, everybody on the planet found out. And that's been there for probably 12,000 years or so in the Saudi Arabian desert.
One thing that really interested me, and I can't think of his name, but a scientist had mapped out all the spiral petroglyphs around the world. And when I looked at the map that he had created, it showed that the majority of these spiral petroglyphs were in caves in mountains, whether it be the Rocky Mountains, whether it be the Alps, or whether it be down in South America in the Andes. Most of these spiral petroglyphs were in caves in mountains high up, and that really really triggered me onto something. And also the fact that, you think about this, an object passes in the sky, everybody has to run to the caves. They have no light, they have nothing to do except for sit there for a couple days until this thing passes.
Right.
What are they going to do? They're going to carve what they saw into the walls of the rock.
Yep. Well, I think you're right on target there, and I believe that's precisely what happened. And these were survivors taking their time to do what they thought was important, which was to make a permanent record of their observations when they observed them.
One thing I wanted to dispel is everybody seems to think when they see ancient stuff that's made out of rock, they start to think of cavemen and people with spears and things like that. But what they don't understand is they were so smart back then that they knew the only way to preserve it for thousands of years was to carve it in rock.
Absolutely.
That way, if they put it on paper, it'd disappear. If they put it in metal, it'd rust away. You know what I mean? There's no possible way for them to preserve that stuff in the future without carving it into granite and things like that.
Absolutely. We got another caller here. Josh in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, hi there. I'd like to talk about the Atlantis. I've heard from a few sources that Atlantis possibly during this shift will rise again out of the ocean along with Lemuria, and the oil rig explosion was done to distract. And there has been a submarine mission also going around collecting artifacts and info before Atlantis rises. Have you heard anything about this?
Well, I've heard some different stories about that sort of thing. But what I did find interesting about Atlantis is that, okay, there's not much story from Plato about Atlantis. And you got to go by
what's here. Lucas, okay. We got a break coming up. Josh, hold on. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be back after the break. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the first day of August, 2010. Quick note, we're having some technical difficulties with our satellite feed. If you're getting a harsh audio signal. That's what's going on. We're working to correct that. Josh, are you still there, sir? Please.
Yeah, I am.
Make it brief.
Oh, he had asked about Atlantis and stuff, and I was gonna finish up on that. Interesting enough, if you go onto Google Earth and you go down, look at Florida. Now go off the eastern coast of Florida, okay, underneath the water, on the first shelf, you'll notice a gigantic underground lake that used to exist there thousands of years ago. Now, we have very little account of Atlantis from Plato other than the fact that it was on the Atlantic Ocean, it was as big as a continent, and they were at war with two, possibly three fronts when it went underneath the water. Well, think about what's happening. America is at war on two, and now possibly three fronts right before this event. If the people of Atlantis knew that the event was coming, they probably spanned out and probably tried to take over the rest of the world before it happened. And that's most likely why they were at war with two or three countries when it happened.
Right,
but
right.
If you look, the interesting thing on Google, if you look underneath the water, you will see that Google has blurred out the whole area there where the Bermuda Triangle is. I suspect the whole Bermuda Triangle thing was concocted to keep planes from flying over that area, to scare pilots not to go there, and also the right to shoot people down when they did go over there and they saw the underwater cities underneath the water.
Really?
So, I just suspect that that's what the whole Bermuda Triangle thing was concocted for, was to keep people out of that area and seeing the buildings that exist underneath the water there.
Pretty amazing. Josh, we thank you for your call, and don't be a stranger, all right?
And that's...
Okay, thank you, sir. We're almost out of time here. Give us your website real quick, Lucas, if you would, please.
It's www.rabbithole2.com. That's rabbithole with the number 2 after it, .com.
And the name of your DVD is?
Is Lucas at Brave New Books, The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind.
And you can get that from your website for $32.99 shipping included.
Yes, sir. And
$31.99, excuse me.
Yeah, and I quickly wanted to say I had to switch websites because I was thoroughly attacked on my other website. Somebody tried to hijack my entire project, was selling it and not providing the material for people against my will, and I actually had to threaten them with legal issues to have them take that down. So,
that's all reserved now, so resolved, I should say, and that's good. I'm really pleased to hear that. Lucas, we'll be talking during the week sometime, and you're going to be a frequent guest here if you would like to be, because you and I have a lot to talk about and a lot of territory to cover, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Okay, thank you for your time, and we appreciate it, and I'll be in touch.
Take care, sir.
Okay, thank you, Lucas. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Wayne Young, a.k.a. Lucas. He's, in my opinion, one of the better researchers. The DVD he does. He did, I should say. I highly recommend. If you want a companion video to go along with mine, he does mention my work in his DVD, by the way. Looks like I got a message from our engineer. It sounds like the satellite feed is back to where it should be. I hope that's not a coincidence with Lucas wrapping up his interview. Lucas has had a lot of notoriety. He's had a lot of attention from some of the intelligence agencies for the work he's done. Going back to this 9/11 DVD that he did, presentation he did. And God bless you, Lucas, for the work you're doing and the courage you've shown to stand up to the New World Order. We'll be going to the break here momentarily. And when we're back from the break, we'll be open lines at 800-313-9443. I got a related topic I'll be going into, and we'll be taking your calls. So there's the music. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the first day of August, 2010. Welcome back to the John Moore Show. And let's see. I just got a note from my engineer about the technical problems we experienced with the satellite feed this past hour. We're working on correcting that, and hopefully that won't be too much of an issue. Our article on Steve Quayle's website came to my attention a couple of days ago. It's dated July 29th, a couple of days ago. The title of it is Are We Going to War? The author uses the initials CJ. The facts speak for themselves. The facts of the article talks about the federal government apparently stockpiling certain drugs, anesthesia drugs in particular, drugs related to trauma treatment. That's a fact. I don't agree with the premise of the author that they're stockpiling for war. My belief is that they're stockpiling, well, first of all, obviously, because they're going to need them. They're going to need them. And they're going to need them soon. Here's the deal with drugs. These types of drugs have a shelf life. Now, 3 years ago, we went through a shortage of, for most of the year, with freeze-dried foods. Freeze-dried guy is a friend of mine. We talk about these matters, and he personally owns freeze-dried food that's 40 years old. And he, about once a year, he'll take out some and cook it up and eat it to see how tasty it is and how it looks. And quite frankly, it's as good now as it was 40 years ago. We don't know what the shelf life of freeze-dried food properly stored is. We do know what the shelf life of pharmaceutical products properly stored is. It's typically not all that long. Now, here's the things, and apparently, and I haven't gone to the article says that the FDA has this on their website. We'll get back to the article after the break. Call number is 800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
John Moore is as close as your telephone. Call him right now, 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the first day of August, 2010. I'll attempt to read the names of these drugs to you. My tongue can't twist that many different ways at the same time, typically, but I'll do my best. And I was talking to Dr. Deagle about this past Friday. Dr. Deagle is a medical doctor with a lot of other certifications. I read the list to him. He says, John, these are the drugs kept on ambulances and in emergency rooms. That's where these drugs are used primarily, is ambulances and emergency rooms. These are trauma treatment drugs is what they are. Now, they have a shelf life. Now, my opinion, based on experience and based on my knowledge, is that if the government was getting ready for a massive emergency, they would, first of all, they would want these drugs. Second of all, they would not stockpile them until the last minute because of the shelf life. They would wait until they thought they couldn't wait any longer and still, you know, get what they want. They would wait till the last moment, what they considered was a safe last moment. Then they would stockpile these drugs to have the maximum shelf life possible. So here's the drugs: ephedrine, calcium chloride, mexiltine. I'm doing the best I can. Just bear with me. Protocol, vercuronium, pancuronium, sodium thiopental. Lavorphanol, phosphenytoin, furosemide, amikacin, A-M-I-K-A-C-I-N, isoniazid, mitomycin, M-I-T-O-M-Y-C-I-N, hyperidol, which apparently has been around a long time. Anyway, that's the list of drugs that are in short supply. Apparently, if you go to the FDA website, you can verify this yourself. I must admit that I have not done this myself. The title of the article with all these drugs listed. The title is Are We Going to War? It's posted at Steve Quayle's website, three or four days ago. You can look it up on Steve Quayle's website. Are We Going to War? The author's name is CJ. Dated July 29, 2010. A couple of callers, one or two of them, made the point that even if you don't understand Planet X or don't believe in it, the evidence is very clear that the governments of the world and Fortune 100 companies, the Vatican, are all preparing for some kind of major disaster. They're moving away from coastal areas. They're moving to high ground. That's very crystal clear and very well documented. And they didn't do this during the mean, old, bad, dangerous Cold War, did they? No, they remained in their in their usual places around Washington, D.C. They didn't abandon Rome and all these things. They just stayed where they were, stayed in place during the Cold War. Of course, there was shelters built during the Cold War that would have provided some shelter around Washington, D.C. and so forth. Weather Mountain was one of the bigger ones. And there were others at various military installations around Washington. All that's in the process of being abandoned right now. Here's some simple Google searches you can do. Denver and the word and CIA. Put that in Google's search engine. CIA and the word Denver. You'll find the CIA's press release about moving to Denver. NSA, no such agency, in Denver. Same thing. How about NASA, NASA, and the word relocation? You'll find a two-sentence press release going back to the summer of 2007 that NASA was spending $74 million to relocate their employees. Here's another Google search. Three words, plum, as in peach, apple, plum, Plum Island, and the word Kansas. Plum Island and the word Kansas. Do that Google search and you'll find that the place where the federal government studies really fun stuff like anthrax and foot and mouth disease, which is currently on an island off the coast of the United States in the Atlantic Ocean, about 100 miles from New York City, 200-acre island, the whole facility is being moved to Kansas. The reason they state, it's comical, because if you go to Google Images, you can find both topographical maps showing all the buildings and aerial photographs of Plum Island, showing 200 acres of mostly green, unused real estate with 8 or 10 or 12 buildings, whatever it is, on that 200-acre island. The reason they state they're moving is they've ran out of space on the 200-acre island. You know, ladies and gentlemen, 200 acres is a lot of space. They don't need parking lots, obviously, because it's an island. It's a lot of space to build whatever size building you'd want to build. No, they're not running out of space. Obviously, that's a fabrication. Obviously, it's a lie. How about another? Oh, boy, I just clicked on here in my caller screen, and we got a bunch of callers on hold here. I guess I better get back to these callers. John in Austin. Go ahead, John.
Hey, John. How are you?
Real good.
How do you read me?
Read you 4x4. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. You know, with regard to these particular emergency room trauma medicines, you know, being bought up by the government.
Right.
A couple of things come into mind. Is one, obviously, they don't think that they'll be able to secure continued stock and production of these meds.
Precisely. Dr. Deagle, before you go any further, Dr. Deagle told me Friday that most of these drugs, if not all of them, are made in China.
Yeah, a lot of medications are coming from China, unfortunately.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
But let me ask you, let me throw this theory out here at you, and this is just something I was thinking about. With the health care, what if the government was going to ration this stuff?
I think that's a separate issue from...
Yeah.
Well, first of all, these are not prescription medications.
No, I understand.
It would not be of rationing... So, you know, doctors don't prescribe these things. These are used in emergency rooms and on ambulances. So it's not a prescription medication that would even fall under these this new healthcare stuff.
You know, I'm just—it was just kind of curious. I was thinking, you know,
you don't walk up to the pharmaceutical counter and get a script for the stuff and take it home.
I know that, John. I appreciate that. I was just thinking, you come in 70 years old and a smoker, and they might say, no. Not this time, you know.
Right. I understand the concept, but I think it's a separate issue from what's on the table here.
So, because also back to the storage issue, most medications that I've run across, and you know, I dealt around that a lot. You're looking at 24 to 36 months.
Right. Right.
And 36 being at the outside.
Exactly.
And you know. So whatever's going to happen, and of course, being trauma meds, you know, they're expecting whatever's going to happen to not be real pleasant.
Well, and I agree with you, John, and what they've done is show their hand by buying this stuff now. We know, at least I know, I'm convinced that because they're buying this stuff up now, that they feel they're right at the edge of no longer being able to do it.
Right. And do you think that one other thing, and then I'll let you go. You know, we've been having, besides the Gulf oil disaster, which is still going on. I don't discount that, but we've been having, like, you know, that pipeline break up in Michigan. We had a gas pipeline breakdown here in Texas. And other water mains, and you hear reports across the country of pipelines breaking. And, of course, a certain amount of that could be due to just we're not keeping our infrastructure up.
Right.
But I wonder how much of that is due to the seismic activity happening in areas that are not traditional areas for activity, and they're rupturing and cracking pipelines.
Right. Well, we you're right, and we've talked about this on some other shows, and there may be some causal connection there. Easily could be,
you know, especially if there are older pipelines on top of it. You know,
absolutely.
You know, they snap at the field, they snap at the joint and at the flange.
Well, a big enough shake's going to snap steel pipe regardless of its age.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's the weakest point. That if you have just even minor shifts and everything in an old pipe, you know, the bolts cut loose, it leaks, and then it cuts loose all the way at the flanging.
Exactly.
Shear off. But,
okay.
And I know you hate throwing dartboards at darts at calendars, but when do you think we can expect all this to really start ramping up?
Well, in my opinion, we're there. You know, here where I'm sitting, we had a hurricane here May 8th, 2009. We're in it right now. It's going to continue to get worse. John, we're going to need to move on, but we appreciate your call, sir. Everybody stay tuned. We got a break. Back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the first day of August, 2010. Well, I don't believe, to my best of my recollection, I've ever offered anything for free here on Republic Broadcasting, but I've got something to offer for you for free. Now, everybody out there listening, either you're interested yourself in the maintenance and repairing of firearms, or you know somebody that is. I know you guys and gals out there, and then it's just the demographics of my listeners. a free DVD, the free how-to gunsmithing DVD, covering firearm disassembly and reassembly, gun repair, accurizing, customizing, tuning, refinishing, shooting techniques, bluing, lathe and mill operation, welding, trigger jobs, and how to get certified as a professional gunsmith. You go to my website, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. You'll see a huge banner there on my homepage, American Gunsmithing Institute. Just click on there, and there's a form you can fill out. There's also a toll-free number you can go to do the same thing verbally, if you'd like, to get your free DVD. That's 800-474-2514. Get it for yourself or get it for that buddy of yours that likes to maintain and repair and get better with their firearms. 800-474-2514. And we got a regular caller here, Dave in the frozen northland of Canada. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello, John. Thank you. How are you tonight?
Fantastic. How are you, sir?
Just fantastic. And thank you for that number. My wife just finished writing it down. What a tool. What a handy tool.
You know, I've never wanted to be a gunsmith or even repair firearms, but the more I think about this, that could be a really valuable skill, couldn't it?
Oh, it's skill. Just a blessing in a jam-up. But look, I had a comment about the, I don't know if you people heard about the bear attack 2 weeks ago, and I called you 3 weeks ago talking about women's hygiene in
the
wilderness.
Yes. What happened 2 weeks?
A bear attack up in Alberta. The media put it across as experienced woodsmen. Well, for one, I got a question on that word experience, because the first day they chased the young cub off, the second day they had to chase it off, and then that second night it came in and attacked one sleeper under a tarp and flipped him over like a pancake, out of his own words, and bit a chunk of his skull off at the back of his neck.
Whoa.
And his buddy heard the screaming, came out and wrestled it, and both of them were able to chase it off. Now, if they had been...
What kind of bear? What kind of bear?
Black bear.
Black bear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, one, they should have known how it went all off, if it was going to come back and seek them as prey. Two, bear attack down in Yellowstone or near Yellowstone. I don't know the geographics or the geography around there, but Montana, do they have inland streams, or do they have inland salmon or rainbow?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
We may have a listener
because
that does,
anyhow,
but I don't.
A female, 58-year-old female Ontario doctor, was attacked by a grizzly bear. One man was killed, one man was attacked and injured, and she was attacked and injured. Okay.
Right.
Well, the wildlife in Montana turned around and said they killed a female grizzly with two cubs.
Okay.
Well, I have a problem with that. A female with two cubs won't attack. She's more interested in protecting her cubs. So these people were asleep. And it just doesn't sit right with a grizzly. At this particular time, they're moving up in Canada, and the move is almost over for the salmon run, but it's just starting for the rainbows, okay? And
right.
I would say it was a frustrated male that was following her, that was his turf, that just went out for the kill, because she said, and this was her own words, when she settled down, stopped screaming, the bear just stopped and walked away after crushing her arm and biting her arm. And basically, that was just a frustration. And that wouldn't have been a female with two cubs, believe me.
Right.
And I have problems with that. They just killed that grizzly because she happened to be going through. But I would say there had to have been a river or something with a stream that she was showing her cubs how to feed. But anyhow, wanted to talk about was that gentleman, a.k.a. Lucas. I hope you do have him on the show more often. What an insight, what information. But
he's done a wonderful job. He's a very bright young man. His brain just clicks along, and I don't know what his IQ is, but it has to be 140+. I mean, he's a very bright young man.
But simply connecting the dots. But I was trying to get in to ask him, what was the significance of the spirals over the mountains?
That's what they saw. These people recorded what they saw.
No, but why are the spirals over there? Like, are they drawing people to the safe zone? What is the signal?
It's an unusual phenomenon, and it was in the sky, and it was in close proximity time-wise to what drove them into the mountains in the first place.
So it was a signal.
You want to hold on to the break, Dave?
Yes, please.
Okay. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hold on.
John Moore is taking your telephone calls right now on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pick up the phone and join in the conversation. Call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And thanks for listening to RBN.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the first day of July, 2010. Quick word from our sponsors here. Our freeze dry guy has a number of ways to help you get prepared with your food. His four different clubs: the 30 servings a month club, his protein club, 60 servings a month club, his 120 servings a month club. Figure out what your budget can support financially. Get it on automatic pilot. Get your food delivered every month, shipping included, and you don't have to worry about forgetting about it or spend more money than you got. Just work it into your budget, and just like you would any other regular payment, whether it's your telephone bill or credit card or whatever it might be, it's pretty painless. You can make it painless. His phone number out there on the left coast, Monday through Friday during Pacific business hours, 866-404-3663. I say again, 866-404-3663. Website, of course, is linked from my website, thelibertyman.com. His website is freezedryguy.com. You want electricity at your home, electricity at your farm or your ranch that you own and you control? Here's what you do. Get yourself a propane-fired, not gasoline, not diesel. You're actually asking for trouble with the fuel that goes bad. Get a propane-fired genset. Get a good quality inverter of the proper size. If you don't know, work with an electrician. And get yourself a 1,000 amp hour Edison battery. You fire up your genset once a day, recharge your battery, and you're good for the next 24 hours. Rick can give you the details. Rick Salata up there, KT Ordnance in Dillon, Montana, 406-834-3611. I say again, 406-834-3611. The Edison batteries is one of the key components to a long-term electrical system that you own and you control. So no matter what happens, you can have refrigeration, pump the water out of the ground, have your communications equipment work. That's the way to do it. A special website he's got set up. I should have a link. If it's not set up, it should be set up any day for my website, thelibertyman.com, to ZapWorks. That's Zebra, Alpha, Papa, Papa, ZapWorks.com. Get back to our callers here. Dave, are you still there, sir?
Yes, sir. And talking about KT Ordnance, my goodness, John, if these so-called wilderness people could have had a 1911 50 caliber, 275 grain, they would never have had their arm chomped with a bear by making a fatal mistake, or these two gentlemen up in Canada wouldn't have had half his skull ripped out at the back of his neck and chomped on with another black bear.
Or an AR-10 shooting a 308 round. I wouldn't want to irritate a bear with a 223.
No, but at the same time, I would take a .22 long rifle pistol in my belly, sleeping in a tent, because if something comes in there with teeth to grab a hold of me, I know at least I've got 10 rounds. I'm going to pop one through its eye, right, or something right of that sort, And at the same time, people don't realize, hey, with a cougar, with a mountain cat, with a bear, wolverine, or a fisher, especially a fisher, you can't, if you're bugging out, there's no medical help. You're euchred. Unless you can do medical treatment on yourself, you can't turn around and work out or survive in the bush. If a bear's chomped your arm and it's crushed the bones, you're going to be looking at amputation after 30 days after infection.
Right, right.
And, you know, these are precautions you really, really have to take. And I look at these people who are camping and stuff, and that's what scares me. There's going to be so many displaced people. And even though you turn around and say the Ozarks are the place to head, how many people can you take? I'm looking at the U.S. government and the Canadian government building up our borders. Why aren't they building up Mexico? No, they know there's going to be a lot of displaced Americans, and good patriots are going to be coming up to Canada, and our doors are open, and our roofs, and our break our bread for them. They need survival, and we got lots of water, lots of food, but they have nowhere to come.
Right.
True.
Right.
And the only reason they're beefing up the borders is to stop them. That's the only way I can look at it.
I agree.
You know, and basically, the more information we put out, hey, look at, there are more vicious animals in the rural area here than your concrete cities. Like, it's like me walking downtown in the worst street in one of your worst cities with all the bling bling and gold over me with Bermuda shorts. Like, how long am I going to last down there? They're going to look at me and, oh, wow, oh, what easy pickings. Well, that's what we look at coming up in the rural area, and I'm just looking and saying, oh, man, that people have to be warned.
They do. You're right. You know, these wild animals are nothing to be taken lightly, not at all.
No, you're fast food. Actually, that's where it comes. But Russia, did you hear this week about Russia having 130 years of the hottest heat wave, cities or towns burning, and no water, and then all of a sudden Bangladesh, Pakistan, tsunamis. Like, do you think these people are packing up all this trauma drugs for one, either climate change and the severe climate change that is coming, propaganda, oh, stating that there's going to be a war or revolution, that the people are just had enough of this tax?
They're preparing for all of the above, Dave. They know things are going to get very strange very quickly. They're preparing for all of the above.
There isn't,
Dave,
enough.
Thank you for your call, sir. We need to move on. We appreciate it, sir. Darren in Massachusetts. Go ahead, Darren. Oh, we lost Darren. Well, sorry, Darren, if you want to call back. Please do. Steve in Texas, regular caller. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, John, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You were talking about the last week, the Gulf Stream, the Gulf Stream's flows.
Right.
Back in the 70s, they talked about this, and, you know, the big scare was this. Then was an ice age. Would it stop now? How long would it take for it to start getting really cold, I guess, is what my question is.
Okay, well, let me give everybody an update first. The Gulf Stream, best we can tell, has stopped. We'll be interviewing Dr. Zangari on Genesis this coming Friday, the third hour of Dr. Deagle's show. This coming Friday, the 6th of August, we'll be interviewing Dr. Zangari for an update. Apparently, the Gulf Stream goes up the east coast of the United States and goes a little bit east and stops right now. The answer to your question, Steve, is, first of all, I don't know. It's not going to be as fast or as dramatic as in the motion picture the day after tomorrow, which basically happened in a period of just a few days, where it went from normal to 400 degrees below zero in a matter of a few days. We're not going to see that. It starts getting cold normally in that part of the world along towards the end of October and into November. So all of us will be watching to see what happens this coming fall as we approach winter. And that's the best I can say right now, so stay tuned.
I remember seeing a History Channel special showing that the Little Ice Age showed that the River Thames in England would freeze over and they would have a Christmas festival on the river.
Right. That is in recorded history. That has happened.
One question I had for you was, I've been noticing, you know, you've been talking about getting, you know, good clothing and stuff and boots and stuff from where farmers and construction workers get. Well, that's where I get mine. But I've been also noticing in some of these magazines, you know, or in catalogs, that it seems like a lot of the hikers and the stuff like from Under Armour, 5-Eleven, Blackhawk, they seem to use a lot of polyester clothing for, you know, hiking and survival type clothing. Why? I always thought polyester wasn't all that great. I'm from the 70s, and I remember it.
Right. Well, polyester underwear will keep you warm. I prefer wool myself. Silk is one of the best underwears you can wear as far as being lightweight and warm. But the polypropylene underwear they've got will do the job quite well.
Yeah, well, they were talking about using, like, shirts in hot weather, like polyester shirts and polyester pants.
No, and there's no way in God's green earth I'm going to wear the artificial man-made fabrics in hot weather. No, they can keep that. It's not going to happen for this cowboy.
If you look at some of these high tactical magazines, you know, they're Under Armour and them and Blackheart. They're just pushing that. It's got to be all. You got to have this polyester. You know.
They can promote all they want, but. I remember those polyester fabrics also from the 70s. And maybe it's different now, and if somebody can give us some insight, they're certainly welcome to call in and tell us. But I'm no advocate of wearing polyester in the summertime.
Yeah, I left my polyester seat a long time ago.
Ditto there, Steve. Thank you for your call. Sheldon from Tucson, regular caller. Sheldon, how are you, my friend?
Hi, John. That Gulf Stream current that goes up the eastern seaboard, that's called the North Atlantic Thermal Hailing Conveyor,
that's
right?
That's right. That's exactly what it's called.
Okay, because sometimes I'm trying to explain this to other people. I also wanted to let your audience know, if anybody missed that Lucas interview, they can go to my website to grab that, because I'll be posting that today.
Good. Give us that website address there, Sheldon.
It's thelightofdayradioshow.com. And if you click on the Archives Miscellaneous subpage, that's where John's stuff is. And I also have some Lucas stuff underneath his section, underneath your section.
Well, thank you, Sheldon. You know, Sheldon, I want to compliment you for the research and work you've been doing to the whole audience here. It's been very helpful. You're the guy that did the FOIA request for the NASA information about relocating their employees. It turns out, we didn't get much that was useful, but we certainly made an attempt, didn't we?
That's correct, John. Among that research, I've also discovered a few days ago that there's where I suspect the elite will be blasting off into orbit from their new launching facility. It'll be down there in New Mexico, and I'd unearthed this picture of a concrete dome structure. Did you get to look at that?
I did, and concrete dome structure it's just a smart thing to do, even for a high school gymnasium. They're economical. They literally pay for themselves in the heating and cooling cost over a period of 20 years. And if you're talking about 100,000, 200,000 square feet, that's a substantial amount of money.
I also read that they're the strongest architectural things on the planet.
They are. And that's why you can bury them. That's why they'll support the weight of the dirt, because the weight is transmitted to the edge as opposed to down. The weight is transmitted down to the ground as opposed to the structure itself having to hold it all up. They're incredibly strong.
Yeah, that's what I suspected. One more thing. You mentioned IBM has a new facility you discovered in Boulder.
Yeah, if you go to the IBM website, just put this in your Google search engine, IBM Boulder, and maybe another word, say continuity. Or you can put IBM Business Continuity, and you'll get there. But it's on the IBM website.
Well, Darren, that guy Darren Stone that interviewed me and you, he told me privately that I think he said he knows somebody in Comcast. They don't they don't publicly state this, but they consider Denver to be their headquarters.
Well, either it is or it's not. Comcast has to be somewhere, don't they?
Yeah, so I thought I'd just throw that at. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later, John.
Okay, thanks for the call, Sheldon. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. Well, I put together my DVD, ladies and gentlemen, just like I was putting together a trial notebook for a murder trial, which I've done that a number of times as an investigator, as a trial assistant, as a legal assistant. I worked my first homicide beginning the fall of 1973. Wrapped up a nearly two-year homicide investigation recently. There's another murder case I've been working on. It's been on hold. I want to get that homicide reactivated and bring the perpetrator to justice. So I know about trial preparation, and the attorneys who have watched my DVD, they recognize the way I laid out my evidence as being exactly what they would do if they were doing trial preparation and preparing a trial notebook and a murder trial. That's what I do. I've been doing it now for 38 years. Global warming, what the government isn't telling you. I bring the evidence to the table. You, the audience, people that watch my DVD, you're the jury. I bring evidence to the table that's clear and convincing. My editor, without my knowledge, put simple Google searches right into the DVD. Anybody can do these Google searches and find original source material that you can convince yourself of what we call the circumstantial evidence that what I say is true and accurate, that the federal government of the United States is getting ready and preparing for something of a most serious nature. Regular caller here, JG in California. How you doing, JG?
Hi, John. God bless, John. John, what's your knowledge of John McCain as far as his... are you familiar with Jack McLam's information on John McCain?
Well, Jack McLam and I are personally acquainted. We were house guests in the same house in Austin when I was down there a few years ago. I don't know what Jack's put out on Senator McCain. I do know that several of the POWs who were locked up with him at the Hanoi Hilton do not have favorable things to say about Senator McCain.
Right.
I know that Senator McCain came out of the POW experience weighing more than when he went there. None of the other ones did.
I have a point, John.
He obviously receives preferential treatment. He was the son of an admiral at the time, an active duty World War II veteran admiral at the time. He was taken into custody as a POW.
Right.
So what does McLam say?
Well, McLam has purported through many shows that they call him Songbird McCain, and my point is this about the call. I just heard another talk show host said that he respected John McCain, and this host has military background.
You want to hold on to the break here, JJ? Hold on, please. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the first day of August. Excuse me. J.G., are you still there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Let's wrap up this comic. We're almost out of time on Senator McCain.
Yeah. I just wanted your take on something I just heard. Alex Jones seems to be talking about McCain, too, as everybody is. I just wanted your take on this. Like I say, just recently I heard a host made a statement about McCain that he respected McCain as a POW, but he didn't respect him in a few of the other political issues. And my question to you is that this guy has military background pretty damn strong, and I would wonder what's your take on it, John, how he can make a statement like that knowing that there was a man on, Joyce Riley, just recently wrote a book called Unwanted Dead or Alive by Robert Pelton, completely exposing from McCain's commander that if there's one thing he could do in his life is expose John McCain as a traitor, and also the fact that this book is coming out, and the man mentioned how highly respected he did respect Jack McLam's evidence. So how could a man of this stature, another host on one of the networks, say such a thing, or maybe be unaware of such a fact?
Well, your radio talk show host does not necessarily know everything all the time. It's, you know, we're just human beings. So I can see how that can happen. Quite frankly, J.G., if Senator McCain was now President McCain, the bailouts would have happened, TARP would have happened, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan would be basically the same. There would be no difference in substance. There would be difference in style. Not obvious Marxists in the White House like there are now, but in terms of the major things, the health care plan, you didn't hear Senator McCain oppose a health care plan, did you?
No.
The major things would be basically the same and unchanged.
Yeah, it's just amazing how we can have a traitor, or much less, I understand, all the rest of the crooks in government, but how the public is so unaware of this, but now it's coming out, and nobody's making a fuss about the fact that we got a United States senator that's not in prison for treason. That just bothers me.
Well, we got a president in the Oval Office who is not even qualified to be there in the first place.
Yes, I agree.
It's amazing. It's an amazing thing.
Yes, sir.
JG, don't be a stranger. And we need to move on here. We're just about out of time. Thank you, sir, for your call. Your free DVD, American Gunsmithing Institute. Your free DVD. Call 800-474-2514. This will help me also, by the way. 800-474-2514 will get your free DVD. If you can't use it, I'm sure you know someone who wants to repair and maintain firearms properly. This will get them on the road to the knowledge that they need to do so in a very economical manner. They don't have to go off to some gunsmithing school at some remote location, paying tuition, room and board, and transportation, all those somewhat pricey things to physically go to a gunsmithing school. This brings it to their living room, these DVDs. And these are the best. There's a lot of stuff out there, but the American Gunsmithing Institute, they're the top of the heap when it comes to professional quality instruction. That it's kind of neat. It's just the nature of the technology we've got is that if you can do this. And I think I hear music. I do. You all be safe out there. Have a wonderful week. I'll be on the air in a micro effect tomorrow morning, 0700 Central Time. Go to my website, libertyman.com, and there's links there for all my shows. You all be safe out there. Buy lots of ammunition. And God bless America.